Blog Talk Radio.
Had to, and if not, maybe we can get you to that place. Okay, I
One thing I want to tell you, I do have an amazing guest today. She's never been here before, but I've watched some videos of her today, and I'm glad to have Sydney with us here in a little bit, and she has called in, so that's all good. That way I don't stress out. You know, hey, we stress out sometimes, don't we? Over little things, over just things that really doesn't matter if you really look at the bigger picture of our lives. So at least I don't have to stress, so that's a good thing. The card for the show today comes from my Healing with the Angel deck, and it's the intention card. And, you know, that's what we have to be sure of in our life is what is our intent? What is our purpose in whatever we're doing? And that's one thing that I really considered for this program when I started Spiritual Talk Radio. What was the intent? What was I wanting to accomplish with this program? And what I wanted to accomplish with this program, and I believe that we are doing that, is to educate, to encourage, and to empower you. And that is the intent of this program. And so, what is your intent? What are you doing to change our planet? What are you doing to change your world? So, look at that. Intention is the card for the show today. All right, let's go ahead and let's see. Is there anything I need to tell you? I don't think so. So let's go ahead and open with prayer. And again, you know, I appreciate Cindy getting ready to come here and sharing her journey with us. And she wrote one book for sure, and I think another one is coming out, or maybe it's already out. We'll find out here in a minute. But I'm glad that she's here and is going to be sharing her life with us, okay? All right, let's go ahead and go to prayer. Father, Mother, God, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for you and for you being in me, because I don't know what I would do without you. I don't know what I would do without my spirit guide and the angels and the loved ones around me that continually guide me forward. And I thank you for all of that. I thank you for Sydney right now. And as she prepares to come on air with me, you know, I pray that you would just speak through her today and that you would give us words to encourage us, to empower us, to enlighten us, to educate us, whatever you want to do. That's what I want you to do in this now moment. Father, Mother, God, right now we clear our minds and we come into this now moment. We forget about all the things that happened today and we come into right now. We come into this focus so you can speak to us. Because a lot of times we get busy with everyday life. But right now we come in a quiet place just to hear from you. We thank you for our loved ones that are on the other side. And at this moment in time, we ask them if they would like to communicate with the people that are on the switchboard already to step forward and to come into this now moment with us. We invite them into this space. And we invite our angels and our spirit guides at this moment into this space. And we surround ourselves with the white light of the Holy Spirit. And right now, we also pray for the listeners that they get what they need in this now moment. And we say amen. All right, let's go down here. She's down here somewhere. Here she is. Hi, Cindy. You're on air with me. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I watched
I'm
one of your...
I'm glad you found me.
I did. I know. Hey, in more ways than one, right? Because
yeah,
Spirit
exactly.
led me. Yeah, it's Spirit led me to you. It's really interesting how I find my guests, and I just type in psychic medium. I go down the list, and those ones that are supposed to be here are here. So I appreciate you answering the call and being here today. Now, tell us a little bit about you, because I really don't know you that much. So just in a nutshell, what are you about?
Well, I'm actually considered a medium, and I actually don't even like to use that term because, unfortunately, people have taken that term and
right.
made it into something that is maybe not trustworthy at times. So
right.
I am simply me.
I have the ability
to see, hear, and feel the spirits of our loved ones have passed, and that's
right.
pretty much me.
Right. I think my dog said hi to you, too.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, so it was funny. Well, there's a certain time, and it's every time we start the show, I think a spirit comes to the door, and I think that she sees that, and she responds to that. So it's just really interesting that it happens almost every time that we're on air, just at the right time when we start. But that's awesome. And, yeah, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, unfortunately, you know, in this field, there has been a lot of people that haven't been legit. And, you know, and because of that, it's given, you know, a bad name. Would you agree with that? When this happened a long time ago, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I spend my life now putting out education to people to warn them and guard them against people like that, and how to easily recognize fakes from frauds. And that's
right.
What I spend most of my time doing.
Right, yeah. And that's why, you know, in 2006, when I stepped out onto the field, you know, that was the one reason I stepped out, because I didn't really, you know, I had never really went to a psychic or anything before I stepped out. But, you know, I knew that they were out there. And you know, I had a bad taste because of the frauds and the fakes. And I thought, you know, something one day said, you know what, you need to offer something real, something different. Because people, there are real people that have real answers, you know, real questions that need real answers. And that's why you and I do what we do, because we want to help them find those. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I tell people, when you come across the ones that are not real, you know, report those people. You know, let's, you know, get them off the street. And that's the only way we're going to do that, is by reporting them to your Better Business Bureau and stuff like that. So.
Well, I get a lot of hate mail since the first book that I wrote came out. There's a chapter called The Reader, and people are going into different places to get readings and seeing what I'm talking about, turning around and walking out. And so I get a lot of hate mail, which tells me I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, that's when you know you're doing the right thing, is when you get those little mails that say, hey, you know, we don't really like you. But, yeah, somebody has to stand up and say, you know, it's time for real, you know. And, you know. And I hate to see those people throw away their good money on that fake stuff, you know. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that do that. But it makes me sad sometimes. But now, talking about your book, let's get to your book, because you mentioned it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But okay, your first book. What, in a nutshell, what's your first book about? I watched a video about you, and I saw a little bit of an interview. I think it was like on a radio station, like Live Connecticut or something like that.
Good Morning Connecticut. Yeah, I've been on Good Morning Connecticut several times.
So what's your
name? I don't know which version you saw, but both times I talked about my book.
Yeah.
My first book is You Are Not Alone. Our loved ones are here. You're just not listening.
Right.
And I wrote that out of complete and utter frustration with the fact that people were looking for the wrong things when they're looking for the loved ones, ignoring the things that are going on around them every day that could make them start having a connection with them. And honestly, the stuff portrayed on TV, I got very frustrated with that. And the nonsense with people coming back telling me they were getting readings from psychics and mediums, all general information, taking advantage of people. So I was like, you know, I'm a registered nurse by trade. I'm writing this book. So that's what it is. It's more of a how-to on how you can use the senses the good Lord gave you, and just learn how to re-see things. And it's actually not that hard. You just got to understand that what it is you're really looking for. Because if you watch the shows on TV and the things that they're telling you, that's actual spiritual activity, you're going to miss it.
Right, definitely. I totally agree with that. Yeah, because I saw the one where you were talking about like a phone and other things that spirits uses, and like pictures and things like that, where, you know, we can be in contact with our loved ones. Now, if somebody really was trying to pay attention, what would we be looking for? I mean, what are the little signs that we're missing?
Well, a lot of times, like I do in teaching my workshops, the easiest thing for them to do is smell. Smell would be easiest, touch would be next, hearing, and sight is the last. And what I tell people to remember is energy to energy is easy. Energy to something that's not energy would be difficult. And to explain that, we're energy beings and so are they. And so anything that they do in the sense of touching us or presenting a scent to us that's recognizable, that's easy for them to do. For them to take an inanimate object, like, say, a book or something like that, to move it, that's energy to non-energy. It's a little more difficult. So you have to, first of all, get rid of all the misinformation you have based on what you see on TV. One of the things with scent I tell them to do is, one, if you get a familiar smell that is not right for the environment, you look for the rational causes first, because chances are it's probably what it is. If the smell of Gina Tay comes in front of your nose, you look to see if it's the dishwashing liquid, the Glade plug-in freshener, a tree blooming outside. But once you've done that, then you ask them to do it again. And if you get the smell to recreate again, you ask them to do a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. If you get them to recreate that smell on demand over and over and over again, you need to start talking to them. You need to start asking for more signs. So that's really what it is. And touching, if you could take a balloon and rub a balloon on your head and hold it over your arm, that staticky feeling, that's kind of how it feels when they come close to you. So I try to give people an idea on what they're really looking for. People, first thing they tell me in my presentations and in my classes are, well, they're dead, so they're cold. Well, if they're off chasing cold spots, they're going to miss it because their energy, they're actually warm. So it's a lot about getting rid of the misinformation that you've had and fine-tuning your senses that you already have. And it really isn't that hard, and people are doing it every single day, and I think it's awesome.
And you know, it's like with me, when spirits get close to me, a lot of times I have that tingly, you know, I have that tingly feel. I've been doing this for most of my life, so I have that, I don't know, I can't really explain it, but I know that there's somebody around me. The other day I was waking up, and it felt like somebody grabbed, like, my toes and just squeezed them a little bit. And I thought, okay, who are you? You know, what do you want? Because you know, they do that. They touch us, you know, and they can work. Now, the other day I had a medium on here, and during a call, we actually heard a male voice over what we were saying. And so, you know, they can use phones, internet, anything like that, because, again, their energy. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. They are not limited in any way, shape, or form. Some things are easier for them to do than others. But they are trying to get our attention, and it's not them, it's us. We need to hone in. You know, our ancestors years ago used their senses a lot more than we did. They were very keen. They had to for hunting, protecting their villages, whatever. We had everything handed to us, so we had to relearn how to smell and how to hear. So that's why I said I do a lot of education, a lot of teaching in the workshops, and people are amazed at when I put them through these different parts of the program for different senses. They're like, but I have felt that before, or I have heard that before.
Right.
They just didn't know what it was they were hearing and what they were feeling.
Because, again, it goes back to educating and re-educating. Again, there is a lot of false information out there. And I agree, you know, with that re-educating thing. You know, like with my grandmother, she's been in spirit for a long time, but I always know when she's coming because there's like a certain smell. And I always know that she's approaching me because I start smelling that. And then I'll feel her, and then I'll see her, and then I'll be able to hear her as well. But, you know, there's a lot of false information. And, you know, I agree with the shows. It's like, okay, I just watch them for entertainment purposes and go, I don't think so.
Well, and that's what I say in my all three of my books, that, you know, I watch The Walking Dead. I watch a lot of the shows that are out there because I like those shows, but I also know it's not real, and I know it's for entertainment purposes only. So please go ahead and watch the shows. Just please don't think that our loved ones, our mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers, and then ourselves someday are going to be walking around looking like zombies or have you look like skeletons. It really is. It doesn't even make sense. If you stop and think about it, it's very rational, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I've learned, sending my own stuff is you know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of spirits, but most activity that's going on in your house is your loved ones trying to communicate. It's not anything evil. It's your loved ones. Would you agree with that? It's, you know, they're trying to get our attention.
Well, yeah, and as I do all this education, and I give people a demonstration. So if you invited me over your house for a cup of coffee, and you and I were sitting across from each other, for whatever reason, I got up and I just knocked that cup of coffee on the floor. Well, you'd be mad at me. You'd think I was a fool or whatever else. I'm like, cursing me, but you wouldn't think I was a demon because you saw the intent and you saw the action. Now, right. Take that same scenario. You're sitting having a cup of coffee by yourself, and that cup gets knocked on the floor. Right away, we assume that it's a demon or it's a bad spirit or it's a negative activity, when it's really just our loved one trying to get our attention.
Right.
But because we can't see the act and we can't see the intent, we get scared. It's the same thing. It's just our loved ones, but we misunderstand, unfortunately, because what we're being told on TV, all this stuff that has to be negative and has to be demonic. It's the same thing with dark shadows. Dark shadows are our loved ones. They are not... I see my grandmother, and the only way I ever see one of my grandmothers is she's always in a shadow figure. She's not a demon. She's not negative energy. She is my grandma. And sometimes that's the best way in our environment they can present themselves, in silhouette form or in shadow. And for them to be saying that these people are demonic and or they're negative energy and things like that, I found that find that very disrespectful.
Right, yeah. You know, I tell people, you know, the one thing that always gets me, and this is a pet peeve of mine. There's a lady, I won't mention what show it is, but so I won't get a lawsuit. But there's a lady in England that she goes into these places and say, okay, if there's somebody here, slap me or knock me out. You know, I'm thinking, okay, what? They're not gonna do that. So you know, they're not gonna do that. And again, it's just, you know. Those programs are for entertainment, and you know, I'll just shake my hand and go, okay, no, there's not anything there.
But the sad thing is that people believe this stuff because they want to believe so bad in something. And
yes,
we have a lady
do.
Out here by where I live where she actually hands people cards before the reading that ask the questions, who are you here to see, when did they die, what did they die from? And I tell people, why are you filling out these cards? I don't understand. Does this even make sense to you that you're actually getting a reading? And they're like, because she told me to do it. So that's what I'm saying, don't. Because these people's parking lots are filled. They're making really, really good money for lying to people on something that is a very hard, raw emotion when somebody dies.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It hurts very badly, and they're taking advantage of them.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, because everybody wants to have – you know, that one more day, one more conversation, you know, and know that their loved ones are right there. And I tell people, you know, and it's very interesting that you're just, this week must be talking to people about shadows, because the medium yesterday mentioned shadows too, and in the same way. So Spirit's trying to talk to somebody about shadows because it's been mentioned twice. So I just wanted to tell my listeners, you might want to pay attention to that. But, you know, you know, spirits are always around us, and a big, huge part of my life, I've been seeing spirits ever since I was little. Now, when did you start seeing spirits? We didn't ask you that question. When did you start seeing them?
Well, my grandfather was the same way, so apparently all my life, my mother has pictures of me sitting in a high chair, sticking a spoon up in the air, and, you know, to nobody, but they knew what was going on with me. I didn't find out until I was, like, 6 years old when a classmate brought it to my attention, because I was talking to what she thought was myself.
Right.
And that's how I found out. And my grandfather explained the whole thing to me.
Right.
And all my life. So it's so normal for me that I don't think twice about it. You know?
Right, yeah. It's just your life. Because like you said, it's just you. You know, you don't second guess it. You know, it's like with me, I mean, I don't second guess it. It's just a part of me. You know, and it's always been a part of me, so... but
people ask me if it bothers me, and there's no way it can bother you, because if it's something that's part of you, you're used to doing, then it can't bother you.
Right. Now, I didn't ask you this, but do you want to do some readings, or it's totally up to you, or we can just talk, but there's some people on the phone lines.
I actually don't do readings online. I don't actually do readings anymore at all. It's all about education. I'd be happy to answer anybody's question that and again, I tell people all the time, I can only give you answers to the questions that I've had experiences with or that I know. There's a lot of stuff I still don't know, but I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions that they have.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, so let's make it clear so we won't have any confusion. Let's take some calls and see if anybody does. Now, you know, if you have questions about the work she does, you know, like she said, she'll answer to that, or, you know, how spirits communicate with you, things like that. But please don't ask psychic questions. She's not going to answer those.
and I'm not a psychic. Now, honestly, like as I do in my workshops, if something comes through for me at the time, I'm obviously going to say it.
Right.
But no, as far as actually giving readings, I don't do that,
you
especially
don't
over the phone or in the internet.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And I respect that. And I should have asked you that earlier. And that was I've been in a hospital for a while, so I'm not on my game yet. So, but
no, that's
all right.
Okay.
Let's talk. Yeah, no problem. Let's talk to you. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle, do you have a question about Sydney's work or how spirits are communicating with you? Oh, I guess we lost her. So I guess she went away.
She probably wanted a reading.
Yeah, yeah.
You're probably going to see all the lines are going to go down now.
They're gone. So it's just you and me. Now you're working on a second book, or is the second book out?
A second book and the third book are both out.
You wrote several since I saw that video.
I think that from what you're describing, that was probably the first video that I time I was on that particular show. The second book came out and the third book because it's a kind of package deal. And it's called Gifted Innocence, and then this third book is called My Gifted Innocence, because I had parents bringing me their kids all the time to asking me if their children were gifted. And I realized at that point in time that after honestly seeing some truly gifted kids, you know, the parents were saying, I used to stick soap in their mouth, and I thought they were lying, and I'd punish them and put them in their room. And I'm like, I never had to deal with that because I was very fortunate to have my grandfather. So
right.
I wrote Gifted Innocence on how to let an adult know if they truly have a gifted child, and some things, behaviors you watch over a period of time, some of the things that you can watch for, and to really listen to the words that come out of their mouths, because kids, before they're biased, will really pretty much tell the truth. So if they're telling you they see a picture that the lady presents in front of them and their hair is beautiful and they're wearing a pretty white blouse with little pink polka dots on it, and she looks like she has bubble wrap around her, or she looks like she's under a waterfall, but she's not getting wet. Kids aren't going to know that unless they've actually seen it. There's no way that they can know that.
Right.
So, besides that and the color of their aura, you can usually tell if you have a gifted kid. If you have a gifted kid who tells you that he has a demon in his closet, has got red beady eyes and long fangs and big elephant ears, he's seen too much TV.
Right.
So I wrote that book for parents, and then if the parents or adults feel that the child is truly gifted, it's based on their age, usually between 6 and 10. The My Gifted Innocence book is a book that they can read to their child, or the child can read itself, to let them know that they're okay, and to let them know that what they're seeing is perfectly fine, and it gives them pages where they can draw what they're seeing, so they make them feel better about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I was one of those kids that, unfortunately, I was one of those kids that my parents didn't understand, what was going on, and did get in trouble, did get the backside of me warmed up a little bit of the time because, they thought I was just making stuff up to get attention, when actually in reality I was seeing spirits, but nobody, understood that. And unfortunate for me, I stopped talking about it for a long time because I did get in trouble. And I didn't have that education. I'm so excited about the time that we're living in now, because there are so many people like yourself that's trying to help parents understand what's going on with the kids that are on our planet right now. And so, thank you for doing your work.
I'm extremely, first of all, I was very surprised about the first book. Like I said, I'm being a registered nurse by trade. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought a few people would buy the book. You Are Not Alone is, I am self-published. But I have sold enough of those books that I actually have the best-selling author. I've sold enough to be a best-selling author, but they don't give that category to somebody who is who's self-published. But I was very pleased. It's being read in Canada, Spain, and Italy, Germany.
That's cool.
I'm very surprised. But I think the reason it's doing so well is because, people want a rational explanation, something that makes sense to them. And then when they read this book, they're like, wow, that makes perfect sense. So I think that's why it's doing so well. The other two books I'm also very proud of, because no other books have been written like this. There's no real books. I did a lot of research to see that there really is not a guide for parents. Now, if you're talking about puberty with a kid and the kid has a question for you, if you don't answer the kid's question, they will find the answers, and probably not the ones you want.
Right.
But they're going to get the answers, because everyone's going through the same thing. Where are they supposed to get answers on this?
Right.
So, I'm very proud of the books. Not sure if I'll write a fourth or not. I'm a little tired.
Well, I will tell you that you're probably going to write a fourth book, because I feel a fourth book will be there somewhere down the line a little bit, but I do feel another book in there. But now, okay, let's say let's just use me as an example. Let's say that I have a boy, and he comes to me, and you know, he's saying that you know he's seeing like somebody he didn't see, you know, never met, like let's say my great grandfather. Okay, and start describing. Now, how would I approach him according to you and your books and stuff? How would I approach that?
Okay, so some child comes up to you and starts saying that he sees a gentleman with you that obviously he could not possibly know, and it turns out to be your grandfather?
Right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, first of all, it depends on how old the child is. I wouldn't have this conversation with him without a parent around.
Yeah, about let's say he's 7.
Then definitely you need to ask the parent first, because if the parent has not noticed this, you might unintentionally hurt the child by confusing the child.
Right.
Really, the parent has to be involved. So I would, if you have access to the parent, I would say, you know, have you ever noticed this before? Because he perfectly described my grandfather, and, you know, this might be something that you might want to sit down and help him expand upon and help him be comfortable with. And you'll be surprised that sometimes they've noticed it themselves but didn't know what to do, so they just basically silenced them, kind of like you were silenced.
Right, and it's you know, and I think what we don't really understand sometimes, I mean, I think that we immediately are afraid of. Would you agree with that? I mean,
well, yeah. I mean, I think there's I think we have too much fear over a lot of stuff that does not require any fear, and it's all because, again, what's been put in our mind from other things. It's very hard. I have a quote in my first book that says, is it easier to believe what the mind tells you is true, or is it easier to see the truth and convince your mind otherwise? And the reason I wrote that is because, you know, we all have things that we've been told that were beliefs for years and years and years, so we believe them. And when something challenges that belief, it's actually harder for us to change fear or anything else like that, even in the face of truth. So, but the only thing I would tell you with that kid, to get back to the kid there, is, again, if he was a little bit older and say he was a family member, you know, I'd ask him more. So what else do you see? Is there anybody else with him? Can you describe him more to me? But again, at that age, you really want to bring the parent in.
Right. Yeah, so it depends on the age of the child and what's going on with them. Because I know a lot of teenagers that are opening up right now. Because there is a lot of new energy that is just moving on our planet right now. And you know, I've been talking to a lot of mediums, and I'm sure you probably feel it too, is that veil between us and them that we sort of created is thinning. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And going back to something you mentioned earlier, one time I wasn't – sometimes I don't pay attention. I'll just admit it. Sometimes I don't pay attention to spirits. And it was interesting. One time I heard this buzzing noise. It was like my cell phone, but I know that my cell phone wasn't on vibrate. And it was in front of me, and I knew my cell phone was sitting behind me somewhere. And I thought, okay. And then I thought, okay, my cell phone's not on vibrate. So, you know, then I realized, okay, somebody's trying to communicate. Somebody's trying to get my attention, and they know that to get my attention, because of my business, I pay a lot of attention to my phone. And so they definitely use that. Now, what are some of the experiences that you have gone through yourself personally with your family members on the other side?
Well, let me see. I have my grandmothers with me, both of my grandmothers.
Right.
And one grandmother I had a wonderful relationship with, one I did not, and I prefer that she was not with me, but we don't get to pick and choose sometimes.
Right, yeah.
But they're with me every day. They guide me. They sometimes are quiet for days on end, don't say a darn thing, but I know they're there.
Right.
And other days they're very, very annoying, especially if they're trying to get my attention. I'm ignoring them. But I'm very, very fortunate that I'm able to see.
You know, in comfort-wise, I think it just brings us comfort knowing that they're there. Maybe they're not even communicating. You know, there's sometimes when, you know, a lot of times people think that spirits talk 24/7. Well, that's unrealistic. It's just like, you know, me and my dad, we live in the same house right now. And, you know, there's times that we are in the same house, and I know he's here, but we're not talking.
Right.
You know, we're not communicating. Yeah.
And they don't have to. And
right.
one of the things that I tell people in my presentations, which they get a kick out of it, is the fact that the loved ones who are with you, they see everything you do. I mean,
right.
they're with you all the time, and they see everything you do. And so, of course, right away, the worst comes into people's heads. And I tell them, but it's not the same thing. It's not
right.
the same thing as if they were human beings, because they're not human anymore. They're in the spiritual realm. And,
right.
Yeah, they don't have to communicate and talk every 5 minutes. And then sometimes you can't shut them up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Not to be rude or anything, but, you know,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes they just go incessantly. And that's when I honed in mostly, because when they don't know when to be quiet, usually it's because something's going on.
Right. The chitter-chatter thing. And you talked earlier about, you know, feeling warm. And one time I was getting ready to do a gallery sitting in another town, and I was in my I was actually in my room, and all of a sudden it got really hot. I mean, extremely, and it was cold outside, but my there was no heat on, and my room just started getting warm. And I thought, okay, somebody, they're here trying to communicate. So now when you do you do galleries or anything like that?
What is a gallery? Just in case, I just want to make sure you may be using a different term.
Yeah, I might be using a different term. Where you have people come and do mediumship stuff, or do you do that, or you're probably not doing that so much?
Well, no, what I do is I have workshops, and
okay.
it's called Understanding Your Senses, and
right.
people come to the workshops, and again, I go over the senses one sense at a time, let
okay.
them practice, let them see what it feels like,
That's
and
cool.
Give them a good education on what it should feel like, and do a lot of hands-on demonstration. And sometimes during those workshops, as a matter of fact, most times during that workshop, people
right.
actually have encounters with their loved ones and feel them.
Right.
And at that point in time, like I said, if something comes out, if somebody's speaking and we're in a group and I feel I need to say it, absolutely, I will tell the person what the person is saying.
Right. Okay.
I am a big supporter of the fact that we can do this ourselves. Everybody can, to some degree, do this. And
right.
maybe not to the extent of maybe as easy as myself or you,
right?
But they can do it, and they really need to be taught to do it themselves.
Right. Yeah, I agree, and I'm glad that you're educating people, because, you know, on how to recognize what's going on, because again, it goes back to, if we don't know what's going on with us, then, you know, like with my family, when I first started this, you know, when I was little, you know, they thought that I was sick. You know, they thought that there was something mentally wrong with me. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of times back in the old days, and even now still, unfortunately, that happens. You know, people think that there's something wrong, and there's not anything wrong. It's just your loved ones trying to communicate with you. And you know, and like with me, I mean, they're always, now with me, sometimes my stuff gets moved around, you know, especially if I'm not paying attention to the spirit world that day, I'll like lose things like keys, pens, anything on my desk usually just gets moved, because some of the spirits can move things, but, you know, they just try to get my attention because I'm not always focused as well as I should be because there's stuff on my mind. Now, have you ever had anything like that, like them hiding stuff
every day.
From you? Okay.
Every single day.
Every single day.
And I know on TV they like to use the word object manipulation, so technically
right.
that is what it is, but I just
right.
play an old call it grandma, having fun. And
right.
move my stuff around. But, yes,
right.
and they can. Again, it's not much
yeah.
that they can't do. They can slam
right.
doors. They can knock
right.
cups down. They can stack chairs. They
right.
can smack you. They can do all these things. But, again, it's just to get your attention. It's not demonic in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Did you know, this is curious because this might help you. Did
yeah.
you know, and in my You Are Not Alone book, I have a chapter on this. Years and years ago, way, way back in time, most of the topics that we're fearful of now were actually thought of differently. Say, let's just say witchcraft.
Okay. Oh,
back
okay.
in the
yeah.
day, way, way, way back in the day, people actually, especially affluent people, brought witches into their homes to bless their homes, to protect their family, their children, and the property.
Right.
It wasn't until years down the road where they got a bad rap as being consorting with the devil and all this
right.
other stuff. Same thing with the dead. Our ancestors, if you do a good history check way, way back, they always believed our loved ones were with us. They never believed in this separation where they were gone and that was it. They actually still used to set plates at the table for them at dinner.
Right, yeah.
It's something about the last, like, 200, 250 years where all of a sudden we, and it seems to be in the United States, have this
right.
problem with death. Nobody else does.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because I have... Go ahead.
We just need to get back to what it was that was so natural for us at one time is so unnatural now.
Yeah, because like in the town where I live in Kansas, I did some research, and back in the 20s, there was a lot of spiritualist churches, a lot of, you know, those kind of churches in the town where I live, right downtown, you know, and then all that stuff disappeared here in the United
yep.
States. There are still some, and some of it's coming back, but there was something that happened, and I don't know what that was, but something changed. But I believe it's changing back, and I believe that we will get more open to it.
I certainly hope so, and I feel like I'm a one-man band over here in Connecticut,
right.
because I'm banging the drum, and people are listening. I mean, they're getting it. Whenever
right.
I do presentations, I'm
right.
very humbled to say when I do presentations, the rooms are always packed. I mean, it's usually standing room only. And to
right.
me, that tells me that people are finally thinking to
right.
themselves, you know what, you know, this is something I want to know more about, because most people have had an experience. It's very
right.
rare to find somebody who has not.
Yeah.
They just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, because people are just hungry, you know, for spirituality right now. And I'm glad that, you know, your rooms are filling up and people are getting educated. That's awesome. And, you know, and I hope that they pass that knowledge on to other people and, you know, that we get to. I have a friend, and he's been on the show before. He's in England. And, you know, and he was shocked sort of when I told him that, you know, this wasn't really open as much, you know, here as there. And he was just like, what? You know, because there it's all over the place.
Well, as I said, something that has to do with the United States. Most of my stuff that I do, my presentations and book signings and a lot of other things I do, are all free. I don't charge.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. I do that on purpose because I want people to understand that I'm not out to make money. I'm not out to profit. I'm out to educate, and I'm out to make
right.
people understand. And, yes, please take this home to your family and explain it to them. And then they'll talk to their family, and then they'll talk to their friends. And so I am, people tell me I'm very, very passionate about this topic. I don't think I have a choice.
Right. Yeah. Now, how, if somebody wanted to get hold of you, how do we do that? If somebody wants to learn more about you, and how do we do that?
Well, I have a wonderful editor that did a great website for me at sydneysherman.net. And pretty much all the information's on there, all the contact information. I have an email on me on there, which is sydneysherman.author@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And that's, you know, I'm on Facebook. You know,
all right.
Sydney Sherman Author.
Can we get your books on your website, or is there another place that we have to go?
My books are available in bookstores here in Connecticut. They're available on Amazon. If they go through my website to get any of the books, then they will be signed by me. If they get them through Amazon, then no, they will not be signed or dedicated in any way.
Right.
So yes, they're definitely available there.
Okay. So now, do you do just the workshops in Connecticut, or do you go other places?
I've been doing mostly New England. I've been New York, Massachusetts, Jersey, Rhode Island, Long Island. Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing it around here. I was just recently asked to go to Texas and Florida, and
awesome.
So if it gets too cold here, I just might do that.
Yeah, probably. And that might be a good thing for you to do in the wintertime, go to those warm places.
Yeah, you know, that's what I said. It's what I love to do. I'm not a huge traveling fan. I don't really like to travel.
Right.
But for something like this, I would do it.
Definitely, yeah. So you know, I have a lot of listeners up in where you are. So you know, I would encourage them, you know, if they're, you know, wanting to get some information, you know, to check your website, find out where you are, and stuff like that. Because a lot of my listeners are up in the New York and that area. I find that very interesting, actually, that I have a lot of listeners on that East Coast, which I appreciate. So, but check her out, yeah. Because, you know, I don't travel, you know, too much. I'm thinking about more travel. Again, like with you, I'm not a big travel person, but, you know, a lot of times we have to do what Spirit calls us to do, and that is the amazing thing, to listen to Spirit. And sometimes it's that small, still voice. You know, I think a lot of times people are looking, and I think this is why people are missing that, Sydney, because I think they're looking for those big, huge signs. You know what I'm saying? Like almost like writing up in the sky, like, you know, or something like that. Would you agree with that? Because I think that's why we're missing it.
And well, that's why I tell people all the time, stop looking for the big signs. Look for the little things that are going on around you every single day. And right. And they are. It's hard. And again, right. Like I said, it's hard to redo something that's a learned behavior that you've done all your life.
Right.
But once they get it, they're doing great, great things. I have, like you said, I have another book possibly in my future. My editor's giving me a hard time, right, because I have thousands and thousands and thousands of stories that people, right, who have written me back have told, right, me that they started doing this, this, and this, and all these things have happened. And she thinks I should write a book just on the stories of things people have learned, either through my workshops or my book. And
right.
I know, you know what, I would, because they're all very inspirational, and I find it's very heartwarming to hear it. But I would have to get signed releases from every single one of them.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Before I could do the book. So.
Yeah, and that might be a lot of work.
A lot of work. Yeah, so
yeah.
I don't see that book coming anytime soon. But you know what? People are just looking for common sense answers, and they're not looking,
right,
for that mumbo jumbo where every single bang on the wall you hear is a spirit, because it's not.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not. Every little knock on the wall is not.
Yeah. No. No. Sometimes it's just your house settling.
Yeah. Sometimes it's. And you know what? Sometimes one thing I will say is pets are great. Dogs and cats, they can sometimes feel spirit energy a lot easier than we can, because they're not, you know, as biased, and they,
right,
pay more attention to the environment. So I tell people all the time, watch your animals, watch what they're,
right,
doing,
yeah,
and take cues from them.
Right, yeah, because so. My dog, Angel, which is laying right beside me, she, when I lived in another location, when I first got her as a puppy, you know, I didn't even think about, you know, working with her and adjusting her energy to me and to the house and to my spirit world. And I threw the ball down the hallway one day, and she was coming back because it was pretty open house. You could see the whole house from the living room. And I was throwing the ball, and she comes back. She gets up on her paws and, like, trying to hand the ball to a spirit. And that's when I adjusted her and told her what was going on. And, you know, so you're going to deal with this. They can't play ball. Because that's where it would scare me if I just saw the ball flying through the air, you know, by itself. Like, okay. Plus, that'd be a little hard to explain to company. You know, all of a sudden this ball just starts flying through the...
Well, you know what? You can look at it as it'd be very hard to explain to company, or it would be a great conversation starter.
Yeah, that definitely would be a conversation starter. It'd be like, okay, why did that happen? I'd be like, okay, let's explain to you the world of spirit. So, but yeah, and I agree. Watch, you know, because I can always tell when there are spirits near, and sometimes, you know, again, I'm not always, you know, focused. And I watch my dog Angel, and, you know, all of a sudden she, you know, you can just see in her face that she's seeing something. You know, it's like earlier, you know, like I said during the show, she saw something at the door that, you know, I wasn't seeing at the moment. Now, do you see, this would be a good question to ask you, do you see, like, full body sometimes? Do you see that, or?
Yeah, I see. Well, usually it starts out as, like, it looks like to me, like a mirage coming up off of a road. It looks kind of wavy like that. And then the longer I spend with the person, I can start to make out facial expressions, and to the point where if I'm with them long enough, then I can usually see clothing. I've seen them full apparitions. I've seen them from the waist up. I've seen just faces.
Right.
Sometimes they look like I said, like dark shadows. But yeah, I don't have a hard time seeing them.
Right.
But sometimes it takes me a little longer to be around their energy, and more things start to come out.
Right. Yeah, and you know, it is And I think it's like, you know, there's an adjustment that we go through, you know, that, you know, to hone in on that. Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of times I'll just start feeling that tingle sensation. And that, and that's when I start paying attention. I'm thinking, okay, I'm feeling something. You know, what is that? What am I picking up on? You know, because a lot of times I pick up on different people's loved ones, of course, because I'm a medium. And then also, you know, distinguishing, okay, mine between theirs. And, you know, so I have to hone in and say, okay, is this one of my loved ones or is this somebody, you know, for somebody else?
And that's one of the reasons why I, and again, I'm sorry that all your callers.
Oh, that's okay.
Up the lines. But that's one of the reasons why I don't do, you know, spot on readings like that.
Right.
I am extremely, extremely, extremely serious about what I do.
Right.
And, you know, if I had to try to guess and I got it wrong, if maybe I didn't accept the inner energy the right way, or maybe
right.
I got it confused between your energy talking to you on the phone and the callers, then
right.
I would be giving possibly incorrect and or general information, and I'm not
right.
going to do that.
Right.
So that's why it's very hard. If I'm in a room full of people, it's very hard for me to try to figure out who is with who. Now, once I isolate them and they come to talk to me separately and I don't have a group of people around them, it's a lot easier for me to figure out who the people are who are with them.
Yeah, because I had, and I agree, because I had that problem one time. I was at a store and had somebody come for a reading, and actually, and they brought a friend. And I always tell people, don't bring somebody with you, because, you know, it's going to be hard for me to distinguish who I'm picking up on, you know. Especially if they're sitting in the reading area. And you know, I had to tell the person, you know, that came, I said, can you go somewhere else for a minute? Because I don't know who I'm picking up, you know. And yeah, and that's the thing, because I found that here with different mediums sometimes, you know, they'll be talking to somebody, you know, that's called in. And what they're doing is they're not picking up on the person, you know, that's called in. They're picking up on me. And they're picking up on my loved ones. And so it is a little hard sometimes to do that.
It's it does get difficult. And I've had people bring a whole family to witness a reading.
Oh,
and I tell them the same thing. I'm like, you know, you're more than welcome to sit here, but you're going to have to get, it's going to take me longer now, because now I have to figure out who's just coming with this person. And you know what? You
right.
guys might share somebody. You might, maybe mom passed
right.
away. Maybe I have two sisters here and you both have mom. But then
right.
what's going to happen if mom's talking? Am I going to not going to tell the other child what mom's saying? Of course I'm not. I can't do that.
Right.
So it does make it difficult. I don't think people understand. And
right.
I tell people all the time, I'm not a sideshow.
Right.
Okay?
No.
I'm not a sideshow.
Right.
And so, you know, if other people are fortunate enough to be able to do stuff like that and want to take that risk, then
right.
that's wonderful and good for them. I won't
right.
do that.
Right. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, actually. We're about to clock out here. So, but, Cindy, hey, it's been a pleasure to have you here. And one more time with your website, so we'll get that information out there.
Sure. It's SydneySherman.net, and that's SydneySherman.net.
All right. And, again, I appreciate you coming on. And I can feel your energy. You have awesome energy. Like I said, when I watched the video, I thought, because, you know, sometimes you don't know. You know, when I'm inviting people on here, I don't know sometimes what I'm going to get. but your energy has been awesome, and I do appreciate you so much. And I appreciate what you're doing, the educating work. I want to say that on a personal level to you. I appreciate you doing that educational work that you're doing, because that's what we need right now.
And I thank you for having me on the show. You keep doing what you're doing, because I think you're helping a lot of people.
Okay, thank you, Sydney. You have a great evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and please get hold of her. You know, if you're in that area, you know, if you're feeling stuff and stuff like that and you don't know what's going on, educate yourself. Don't be afraid of it. Educate, okay? That's one thing that we have to do on our planet right now is educate, because you and I have been fed a lot of false information about the spirit world, about where spirit is. That's why I do the show that I do. That's why I bring on people like Sydney and other guests. Coming up on Friday, we have Mickey Davis with us. She is a shaman. So we're going to learn about shamanism and what that is and how to work with that energy. You know, so the one thing I would tell you is, if you don't know what's going on, educate. You know, it's like right now with some of the stuff on a personal level in my life, there's some things that I've been told, you know, by doctors about what's going on with me that I didn't know and don't understand. So what do? I went and got a book at the library and learning about what's going on with me so I won't fear it. So I would understand why certain things are going on with me right now. So educate yourself. That's why this show's here, to educate, to empower, and to encourage you. Okay, that's the only reason that we're here. So thank you, Cindy, for being here. And, you know, to the people that did call in, you know, I apologize, you know. But a lot of my guests don't read on air. I will tell you right up front, right now, Mickey will not be doing readings on air. But join us and learn about stuff. You know, you sometimes that's the best way to learn is to listen. Okay? So, all right. So, let me give you my website. If you would like to get a reading with me, you can get a reading with me. You can set that up at www.insightswithmichael.com. That is www.insightswithmichael.com. That is my personal website. And you can set up readings with me there. There is something exciting that I'm about to offer. And you'll just have to stay tuned to find out what that is. But something exciting is about to happen with Insights with Michael. So stay tuned to find out what that is down the line here. So it's www.insightswithmichael.com. You can also go over there. If you go over there and you go over to Spiritual Talk Radio, there's a link right there that will link back to Insights with Michael, make it really easy for you to check out spiritualtalkradio.net if you would like to. Okay, if you would like to drop me an email, you can do so at youareawakening@gmail.com. I will be on air tomorrow. For 2 hours tomorrow, I will be reading and teaching, and Stephen will be channeling, okay? Stephen's actually going to be channeling tomorrow. I will tell you what the topic's about tomorrow. Stephen will be channeling about spirit guides and why spirit guides are here. Why is he here? Why does he work in my life? And he'll be talking about that and the journey he's had with me ever since I've been little. So it's going to be an interesting thing. I sort of know what he's going to be talking about. We have discussed that. And so that will be the topic for tomorrow. And like I said, we'll be doing some readings, okay? And who knows, Stephen might do some readings on air. I don't know. We'll just see, all right? So that's tomorrow. But right now, be in the now moment. Clear your mind, relax, and enjoy your evening, okay? You be you. I'll be me. Oh, before I go, Jesse, I didn't say hi to you, but I appreciate you stepping up today and being here with me, and thank you so much, and hopefully all things are well with you. Thank you so much. All right. Now, you be you, I'll be me, and together we will get there, I promise, okay? You know, it's a journey, guys. It's one, you know, one thing I've learned in the weeks, a couple last weeks is, you know, if we don't take one moment at a time, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. If we don't take one moment at a time, we get overwhelmed. That's what happened to me. I started taking more than one moment. I started worrying about stuff I have no control over. I didn't let go of the past, so I wasn't in the now. I was piled on top with old stuff and worrying about new stuff and not in the now. So we got to be in the now, and we got to be in this moment. So take one moment. One thing I've learned is it's one moment, 1 second at a time. And we can do that. It's, again, retraining. It's refocusing. It's all those kind of things. I'm out of time. So you guys have a good night, and thank you for listening to Spiritual Talk Radio. Namaste, my friends. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
nearby.